Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome to Personal Hearts Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Today is March 13th at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm so happy that you tuned in today, and I'm happy that you archive these shows. These shows are very important not only to the Holy Spirit, but they are important to life. They are important to church growth. They're important to spiritual growth, because in these times and days, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to know what God wants from us, what He expects from us, and then do what God wants us to do, because that is the definition of true greatness. If you're Christian, true greatness is finding the will of God for your life. First, knowing God, of course, praying and asking God what His will is for your life, and then doing it. That's God's greatness. And for parents, greatness is raising righteous children so they could find their godly purpose and calling for their life. So this is today's show, How to Find Your Purpose. How to find your purpose, how to find what you were created to do, how to find what you are designed to do. I will speak on because I have a master's degree in education from USC, and so I know the gifts, I know the rewards of having an education. It's indescribable, because that's something that you do to better yourself. But on the other hand, what is more great and what is more powerful is knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Recognizing who you are in Christ, that lasts for eternity. It lasts for eternity. So we're going to talk about both things, because God's not going to use me to talk about somewhere I haven't been. Now, there are instances where God will give you knowledge about a situation or a circumstance to help that person. But in general, God will only take you further than your wisdom and knowledge is able to go, because you don't want to be made fun of or made of, seeing that we don't have knowledge or biblical knowledge to back up what we're talking about. So God will use where you are. He'll use your circumstances. He'll use what you've been through to prove His existence. And not only that, He will show forth His power through you if you let Him. So this is going to be an interesting show today. I hope you like it, because it is God's will that I speak to you today, and it is needed. We need to hear God's voice in these times. So we're going to have a praise and worship break, and then guess what? I'll be right back to talk about our show, How to Find Your Purpose. Thanks for listening. I'll be right back. This song is called Angels Cry.
I want you to sing with me, Elohim.
Elohim.
Come on, everybody, everybody.
Elohim.
The many-breasted God.
Many-breasted.
El Shaddai. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. At the mention of His name, every knee. He's bigger than the biggest.
Elohim.
Stronger than the strongest. Wiser than the wisest. Who can be compared unto Him among the gods? He's glorious in holiness. Therefore, when we give Him praise, the wonder working God.
Call Him
Elohim.
We praise
Your majesty. I want to hear you. Come on, sing it with me.
And Lord.
Come on, say, we praise you.
We praise
you. Oh, come on, I hear the angel.
Lord,
as you sing it, you will feel miracles all around you.
Lord,
somebody is getting healed right now. Come on, sing it. Come on, come on, come on, don't stop. The devil hates it when you worship.
Lord,
now you say, we bow down.
We bow down.
Somebody say, you're mighty.
You're mighty.
Somebody lift it up and tell him,
you're mighty.
You're
mighty.
I see all the angels bowing and say,
you're holy.
Oh my God, my God, my God.
You're holy.
You're holy.
You're holy.
Praise God. I played that song, and the reason why that it's important is because praise ushers in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Praise ushers in the presence of God. And when you need a breakthrough, start your praise. Start praising God and thanking Him. Because when you have trouble, you don't realize this is you're in a battle. When there's things happening to you like, man, I just paid this bill and then something's coming up. Or, man, I just, all this is coming at me all of a sudden. That means you're in a spiritual battle, and it's manifesting. So when you're in a spiritual battle, just start praising God. Because what did they do in Jericho? They had their trumpets. They had their string instruments. They had their songstress, and they went into battle. Not firing, not shooting, but they went into a spiritual battle, praising God. Why do you praise God in the battle? Why do you praise God in the battle? Because praise defeats the enemy. The devil can absolutely not stand in the presence of God. He cannot. And when you start to praise God, God listens. He goes, who is praising me down there? And he looks down and he goes, well, let me come and join in. You're praising me, you're thanking me, you're glorifying me. Now, there's one, it's a big thing, but most people overlook it. When true praise only happens when you have a pure heart. Now, we're going to talk about that in our next show. We're going to talk about pure praise. We're going to talk about that in our next show. But I'm just going to give you a little snippet before we get into our topic. Pure praise can only happen to when a believer spends their time in prayer. You know, prayer does a lot of things. It prunes our life. It prunes our heart. It picks the weeds out. It weeds out anything that's not pure to God. And then it purifies us. So in order to lead a life and have a pure worship, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, you have to be a person of spirit and truth. So you just can't come up to God and say, hey, I'm going to worship God, but your heart, you have bitter envying in your heart, you got hatred, you got impurity, you're living with a person that's not your husband or your wife. Those things, although God, although you can be forgiven of those things, of course, but those things contain your spiritual life. So you have, and this is biblical, you have to have a life that's led by the Holy Spirit, being led as best you know how, as best you can, keeping a pure heart. And then you offer up that praise that God is asking for. He said he's seeking the worship of those who worship him in spirit and in truth. So you have to lead a truthful life, a repentant life, because we make mistakes, so we repent of those mistakes. And you have to lead a pure life. And so when someone is worshiping in the spirit of worship, in the spirit of the Holy, in being led by the Holy Spirit, in true worship, God looks down. He goes, that person is calling my name. And he joins, the angels of God join in the worship. And that's how you bring in the spirit of the presence of God. But it has to be from a pure heart, in spirit and in truth. Because otherwise, it's no longer true. Because you're living a lie yourself. So, before I teach that show, we're going to begin our show, How to Find Your Purpose. And so, this show is for Christians. If you're not a Christian, it is for you too, but you may not understand some of the concepts. So I encourage you to listen and in your own time ask God to elaborate on what I said by simply reading your Bible or both in your prayer time or both. But when someone goes to school, when you grow up, you always are looking for your purpose. That is what school, secondary school, elementary, secondary school, high school, that is what it is designed to do. Not only is it designed to help you to learn, to know the basics, math, language, artistry, whatever your school is teaching you at that time, Shakespeare, it is leading you on a road to discovery. And that's why in many countries school is mandatory, because they want productive citizens. They want citizens that are productive, that are smart, that are intelligent. But most of all, countries want people that will add to their community, because even people who are not Christians know that people add value to their workplace, to life, to relationships. It's not things. It's not the new bag you bought in Paris. It's not the new car. That does not add value to you. Actually, it takes value, because that car loses value. Material things lose value. But as people, we don't lose value. We never lose value. Your life is eminently important. You do not lose value. And so that's why God is not against you having things, but he's asking you to do it the right way. He's asking you to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. And most of you may know what the kingdom of God is, but I'll just give a little refresher. The kingdom of God is how God lives. So if you're going to say, Aaliyah, I'd like to come to your kingdom. Okay, when would you like to come? Can I come at 4 o'clock? Sure, come on down. You come to my kingdom just like when Solomon met the queen of Sheba, or not Sheba, Ethiopia. He came to her kingdom. So if you come to my kingdom, you're going to see the way I live. Oh, Aaliyah likes this. Oh, Aaliyah doesn't have this type. She has that type. Oh, she likes that sort of car. Oh, they do things this way. Aaliyah does things this way in her house, in her kingdom. If I go to your house, I'm going to see, oh, I have to remove my shoes before I come in. That's your house. That's your kingdom. That's the way you do things. So God is asking you, you have to do things my way, and then these things will be added unto you. You're doing things done in his kingdom, in God's kingdom. God gives you true riches that moth or cankerworm, nothing can destroy, but those riches last forever. But in order to have God's true riches, you have to do things the kingdom way, his kingdom way. And finding out how his kingdom works is simply by reading your Bible and asking him. God still speaks. He speaks a lot, but you have to take the time to listen. God speaks through his word. He speaks through nature. He speaks through other people. But most of the time that I hear God speaking is in my spirit and in reading my Bible. I have read the Bible, the New Testament especially, so many times. But I'm in 1 Corinthians now, and I am writing stuff down because God is speaking that rhema word to me. And that's how we grow, by reading the word of God and then just simply doing what he says. I mean, you know, you're graduating. Every time you do what God says, you graduate to another level. You graduate to another level every time you do what God says. And I am writing notes because the Holy Spirit is speaking through me, and I am writing notes even on what I say, because as God speaks through you, it helps you. So when you do what God says, you graduate on another level. So getting back to our subject today, when we go to, like I said, elementary school, high school, it's on a path to discovery. The school is helping you to become, to realize what you're good at. What are you good at? What do you like to do? What comes natural to you? What comes easy to you? And so when you, some people like to go into politics. Some people like to model. Some people drop out of school even, and they've already found out what their passion is. Even though I don't advocate that, I think you should finish. I don't think. I know you should finish what you started. But a lot of people drop out of high school because they've already realized what they like to do, and they actually realize I'm smarter to actually embark on what I need to do than finish school. I highly recommend finishing what you start. If you're in high school, finish high school because you started it. Finish it. Don't leave things hanging off. Cut, you know, complete it, finish it, then move on. You know, you can do both. You can do three things. I was at USC and Bible school at the same time. My friend said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to do both. And that's exactly what I did. Through the Holy Spirit's help, I completed Bible school and graduated at USC at the same time. So that was my master's degree, now my undergrad. So you can do it, but finish it. So when you're in secondary school or high school, you're on your path of discovery. You're realizing what you're good at. You're asking yourself what you're good at. You're looking at your friends and finding out what they're good at. So it gives you a template of what you're good at. But sometimes what you're good at is not necessarily what God has called you to do. Now, you have been given many gifts and talents. You're good at football. You're good at baseball. You're good at learning things. And that could be what God has called you to do. But God could be saying, hey, this is what I called you to do, but now I'm going to call you out of doing that. Because it's not that he doesn't want you to do what he has called you to do, but you can do it better somewhere else. I know of a particular prominent pastor who I actually know personally, and I talked to yesterday, and he was extremely gifted. Extremely gifted in sports. You can just drop him anywhere and he could do it. You can drop him on the baseball field. You could drop him on the basketball field. You can drop him in football. And he was extremely talented. He could play football. He could play baseball. Anything. He was just gifted in sports. And he was on that track in doing that. He was on the track in playing baseball. He was doing football all at the same time because he was so good at it. But then he could not escape his purpose because God knew, yes, you're good at that, but that's not going to lead you where I want. That's not going to lead to eternal rewards, to lifelong awards. Yes, you will gain the fame of the world, but where will you walk be with God? And so he could not escape his calling. So at 17, he became born again, actually, when he was 5. But he steadily moved toward his goal of becoming a football player, of becoming in the NFL. And he was moving towards that goal. But he could not escape the calling that God had on his life. So he surrendered to the calling that God had on his life at 26. And now he has not only opened so many Bible schools and ministries and has trained other ministers, but at the age that he is now, he's younger than he once was. He is older, but he feels younger, if that makes sense. But he does not regret accepting the call that God had on his life, because not only did he continue, not on a professional level, but he taught other people how to play sports. And so he bore fruit. It's like he gave birth. He bore fruit to other sons and daughters, not only in sports, but in the ministry. And God knew that in the ministry, he could bear more fruit, eternal fruit, where neither moth or dust corrupts, but he could bear fruit, more fruit, eternal fruit, by doing what God has called him to do. So if you're in a position and you're not satisfied, let's say you're working in an office, believe me, I've been there. I have worked numerous jobs because I love to learn. I've worked for a veterinarian because I love animals. I worked for I was doing even lumber when I was in high school because I loved math. Whatever I wanted to do, God blessed me because he blesses the works of your hands. God is not against you working. He is for you working. God says get a job. He will God will be the first one to tell you to get a job. But you know, what type of job should you get? Or where should you go? Or what's your calling? And only God can tell you that. I cannot. I had to find out what I was called to do in prayer. I personally love journalism. I like journalism, and so that was my path. And God never told me not to do it, but that was my path. I've been on the radio. I've been on television. I have been doing it. And then I finally sat down in my bed, and I asked God, what do you want me to do? Because that's what I believe God wanted me to do because I was good at it. It came natural to me. And God told me in 2 weeks after seeking God, and I saw the face of God. He smiled to me and he said, you're supposed to be on the radio. And as soon as he told me that, I started this radio program. And even though I may not have many listeners or I may not, you know, I do have followers. I may not have many live listeners or people, but people do listen and they do archive. Thank you, God, for that. I'm doing it because he told me to. And now God is showing me another area that I have to explore to continue with my calling that he's called me to do. So it's an adventure, but I have been doing this for over 2 years, and I can say that I have been doing this for 2 years because if you put a novice and you represent God and that person fails, not only is it not good for you, but it's not good representation. So in order to find your purpose, you have to know that you have a purpose. You have to know that you have a purpose in life. You have to know that. You have to know your identity in Christ. A person that is in the throes of depression, they don't want to hear any. They don't want to know that they have a purpose. Their purpose is just, some people, just to leave, to escape this life. So you have to know that you have a purpose. And if you're not at that level yet, I'm going to tell you a sure, fast way how to get out of depression. Not that I've never been in depression because it's a spirit. And I will not allow anything but the Spirit of God to attach to me. You have to, it's knowledge, but it's wisdom. You have to read the Word of God. You have to know what not to listen to, who not to listen to, what not to hear. You can't allow, because there's spirits behind television. There's spirits behind music. You have to be very careful. So that's another radio show, but that's becoming more mature in Christ and watching what you read, watching what you hear, watching what you listen to, watching who you hang around with. People have spirits attached to them, and those spirits can attach to you. So I have not been, and only by the grace of God, only by the Lord Jesus Christ, I have not been in depression. But I can tell you how to get out of it, because the Spirit of God breaks the bondage of depression. There's no depression in heaven. There's no one feeling down, wanting to kill themselves, no suicidal thoughts in heaven. But there are plenty of those spirits in hell, and that's exactly where it comes from. So once you realize where that comes from, you ask God to help you. And some people have been asking God to help them. Nothing has happened. You know why? Because there is in their life hidden where they actually like a certain part of sinning. And that sin opens the door. See, the devil just doesn't come in through a little crack. He's a murderer. He's a destroyer. He destroys that crack that you let in and makes it bigger so other spirits can enter in. That's the devil's MO. He's not going to enter in politely through a crack. He's going to break that crack, and he's going to wind it so other spirits can enter in to destroy you, to drag you down into hell. So if you're in depression right now, just get on your knees and cry out to God and repent of your sins and ask him to fill you with the presence of your Holy Spirit. and ask him, Father, I repent of sins known and unknown. I ask you to seal the cracks in my spirit, to seal, to remove any hidden sins, to remove things that I like, that I don't like. And when you start repenting and asking God to fill you and asking the presence of God to come into that place, God will show you what areas in your life that you're allowing the enemy to come in. And he's going to present it to you. And he's going to ask you, do you want that to go? And yes, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, to a lot of people, it happens instantaneously. If it doesn't happen instantaneously to you, it's because depression has been there for a long time. Now, that's not a reason why it doesn't happen instantaneously, but it happens a lot. So keep doing it. Keep doing it. You will notice a difference. Keep inviting the presence of the Holy Spirit, because that spirit of depression cannot be in the presence of God. You have to repent, and a lot of times it's unforgiveness. But God will show you, because I don't know you, I'm not able to diagnose your case specifically, but for many cases, it's unforgiveness, and it's sin. Sin is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness causes physical changes in the body. And so forgive the people that hurt you. Forgive. We only have 3 minutes left in the show, but let me recap. How to find your purpose. Yes, you're good at a lot of things. Yes, God has called you to do those things. And God doesn't have a problem with you doing it. But to find your purpose, to find what God has called you to do, ask him. Even if you know, confirm. Confirm with God if that's what he's called you to do. If he's called you to be in the fivefold ministry. If he's called you to be a collector of, a trash collector. There was a more eloquent way of saying that, I apologize. But if he's called you to work at the airport or he's called you to do something, ask God what he's called you to do. But I guarantee you he has called you to do something in the church. Maybe you're cleaning the communion boxes, or you're singing in the choir, or you're working in the media ministry. Ask God what he has called you to do, because you can still work. You can still work whatever you're doing. Granted, you're not doing anything, in an adult industry or anything like that. I'm talking about if you're working at an office, or you're working at your own business, or you're working overseas, you're working in a factory. God has a specific ministry for you. He really, really does. Ask him. He will tell you, and then simply do it. The true way to find out your purpose is what I said in the beginning of my show. To find your purpose is to ask, and is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Ask God what your purpose is, and then do it. That's simply how to find your purpose. How to find your purpose, how to find yourself, there's no such finding yourself. Your identity is in Christ. That's who you are. Finding yourself, you're here, you're present, you're here, you are here in the present. Your identity is in Christ. So there's no such thing as finding yourself. The Bible says that he calls a person a fool. A fool only seeks about to find themselves, to seek themselves. It's right there in Proverbs chapter 18. But your identity is hid in Christ. That's how you find yourself. Now that you know yourself, what's your purpose? Ask God what you are to do in this life, and he will reveal it to you. That's how you find your purpose, seeking God and his righteousness. Seek God. He gave it to you. And when you find your calling and do it, you've reached where you're supposed to be in God's greatness. That's his greatness for your life. In doing your calling and finding your calling and doing it. Thank you for listening. I love you so much. I hope you have a beautiful, blessed rest of the week. I look forward to being with you again soon. God bless you. Thank you.